2017, Mexico City. Authorities respond to a complaint about the smell of gas and strange noises coming from a residential neighborhood. Upon arrival, they attempted to make contact with the owner of the home, but there is no one to be found. A gas leak is a serious issue. Someone could be inside the home barely clinging to life and passing out from the fumes. Or even worse, the invisible cloud of gas continues to collect and grow. Add any given combustible event, a chain dangling from a truck hitting up against some pavement, the strike of a match, a hammer striking a piece of metal. Boom! It's all over. So whether anyone answers the knock at the door or not, they're going to go inside and investigate things. Upon gaining entry to the residence, the space is cluttered and dark. As the police stumble through the home investigating each room, they make a grisly discovery. There, in the living room, lay the remains of a young female. Her bones were stripped of all of her meat and tendons. This has gone from a wellness check to a crime scene in an instant. The main suspect? The owner and resident of the home. Annabel Gomez Lopez, a 50-something-year-old street vendor with a clean record. Annabel made her living as a tamale vendor in Mexico City's CDMX subway station, selling her product in literally every corner of that place. Her tamales were known for their tender meat and tasty flavor. Annabel's product was in high demand, so it's no surprise that she was detained at her main spot at the subway in her food stand. In questioning, she admitted to murdering upwards of 50 women. But why? Usually, serial killers are men. Usually, women don't murder other women. Many of the victims had been lured to Annabel's home under the promise of food and shelter. But little did these poor ladies know that they were helping her more than she was helping them. You see, things get tight when you run a small business. On top of the personal hours of labor you put in, you also act as your own marketing team and supply chain. Miss Gomez gave the police some insight into what the inner workings of her small tamale business looked like. She tells them about her first victim. The first time was a day that I spent my profits and I didn't have any money for meat, and out of nowhere, I saw a little girl who was lost and looking for her parents. I took her to my house because we were going to call her parents to come pick her up. But the devil was like, "Anna, here is your meat for your tamales." And the little girl never returned home. Her defense team tried to argue that she was insane at the time of the murders. She claimed that a voice that she believed to be none other than the devil insisted that she use the little girl's flesh to keep money in her pocket and human flesh in her customer's stomach. As usual, with the whole devil made me do it defense, the jury wasn't having it. When the day of sentencing came, Gomez was arrogant and unapologetic. She was said to have expressed frustration at the irony of how she was caught, saying, "All the other times I had the hang of it, and they caught me only because of my stupid gas pot, and I had just changed it too." When it was all said and done, she was sentenced to 25 years in prison for murder and endangering the public. Which begs the question, what is more heinous? The blatant disregard for human life? The murder and butchering of innocent human beings for selfish financial gain? Or the dishonest violation of others' personal morals? For what is more detestable to a human being than eating the flesh of another? On today's episode of Funtime Horror Show.
Thank you for tuning into the Funtime Horror Show. Most of the stories we will share are true events, unless otherwise stated, and will contain descriptions of gore and violence. Some stories shared could have detailed accounts of sexual events. This show may also give what may appear to be great ideas to some stupid people. Listener discretion is extremely advised.
Freaks of nature, well then, come on down.
Maria Trinidad Ramirez and Pablo Diaz crossed one another's path by way of coincidence. He was a haircutter in Mexico City, and Maria, a single mother, who would take her children to get haircuts at the salon Pablo worked at. As you know, a haircutter has to be a little bit like a cab driver or a waiter, friendly and able to keep the conversation going. It helps to break the ice, it helps to turn customers into friends, which in turn makes them better customers. All in all, it's important to have the gift of gab. One particular haircut appointment, while Diaz cut the children's hair, the two got to talking. He mentioned to Maria that he really needed some help. He needed someone to help him wash and iron his clothes for his haircutting job. Maria was already doing pretty well for herself selling tamales to provide for her children, but she thought to herself, why not? The extra money can't hurt, so she volunteered for the job. At first, it seemed like these two were kindred spirits. The more they talked, the more parallels they were able to draw between each other. Both were in similar circumstances. Pablo was separated from his wife, though he had not told her the reasons for the separation. If he had, Maria may have thought twice about Pablo. Maria was living in the time and culture where a woman's best option for financial stability was to marry. For this reason, she had conceived children with several different men, and each of them had left the marriage when it was no longer convenient for them. This left her with a total of 5 children, 2 older, nearly adult kids from her first marriage, and 3 school-aged children from a second failed relationship. Maria was charmed by Pablo. He, on the surface, seemed different than anyone she had been with. He was fond of sports. He didn't drink alcohol or smoke. This seemed like a genuine opportunity for both her and him, and most importantly for her kids to have a father figure around. They set out together to make their blended family and build a home. Sadly, the honeymoon phase was short-lived. It was true, Pablo Diaz didn't drink or smoke. This did seemingly make him a step up from Maria's previous husbands. But hey, every rose has its thorn. Mr. Diaz was a physically abusive man, as well as an apparent freeloader. Once he realized that Maria brought in more money selling tamales than he did cutting hair, he saw no need to continue to break his back cutting hair. He felt that the money his wife Maria brought in selling upwards of 200 tamales a day was enough to support him and the family he was supposed to be helping out. Diaz began to take Maria's earnings directly from her each day under the pretense of managing the family finances. Although Pablo didn't partake in mind-altering substances, he still had a pretty significant addiction. He loved to gamble. He'd make sure that there were the essentials in the house, so that no one would starve and so that the tamale business could keep afloat. But every other bit of money was spent betting on fights at the Arena Coselo. On nights where he'd make some decent winnings, he'd come home to Maria and the kids. He'd even play the part of generous dad and give coins to the children. If he lost, he was the exact opposite, taking out his anger on the entire household, beating Maria and spanking the children with excessive force. Damned luck. Maria finally found someone who didn't have all the same pitfalls as the guys in her previous relationships. This fact fooled her into thinking Miguel was a better guy, only to find that he had a heartless mean streak in him. As if the exploitation of her labor and the physical abuse of her and her children weren't egregious enough, Miguel became even more bold. He began to openly ridicule her, telling her she was old and ugly and she was only good as a cash cow. Rapidly now, the impressions Maria held of Miguel continued to unravel. She learned that he had had a divorce his previous wife because of an inappropriate relationship he had with a younger girl. He was just as cruel to his first wife as he was to Maria. He would brazenly cheat on her, not even trying to hide it. He went as far as to bring the younger women into the home he shared with his wife. When he'd grown bored and traumatizing this poor woman, he did what any stand-up guy would do. He left her. And the young mistress, she didn't last much longer after that either. Then poor Maria comes along, walking into his hair salon and into his life by way of marriage of convenience. Miguel put that poor woman through 3 years of abuse, terroristic threats, and pure misery. The couple's fights were frequent and dramatic. The children sadly grew up used to the sound of shouting and crying. At times, when Pablo would become too violent, Maria's oldest son Pedro, who happened to still live at home, would try to intervene, confronting his stepfather. Several occasions even turned violent, seeing the two men exchange blows. Pablo had a pretty effective way of quelling this rebellion. He simply told Maria that next time Pedro attempts to stand up for himself or his mom, he'd be banished from the house and wouldn't be allowed to return. Initially, this worked, and the mother and son complied. However, the seeds of resentment began to grow in Maria. Each time Pablo would beat or berate her or her children, suddenly Maria found that she wasn't heartbroken or sad. She was angry, fed up with years of being mistreated and underappreciated, taken advantage of and then abandoned. Her life had culminated to this moment. The camel's back was broken the night of July 17, 1971. Maria's younger children were doing what young children do and pretty much making a huge mess of the entire house. They ended up dirtying some of Pablo's work clothes that were laid out on the bed while jumping around. He sent the children to bed without dinner, making threats to leave and not come back because of the pesky children and their antics. He'd already taken Maria's tamale earnings for the day and had gone out for a Saturday evening walk and returned home for the night and fell asleep in front of the television. As she stood there, watching him sleep, a feeling came over her. There was no more denying it. She was fed up with Pablo Diaz and what her life had become with him in it. He lay there snoring away. She might be able to tolerate the abuse Pablo dished out to her so often, but she would not allow this to happen to her children. She knew something needed to be done, and no one was going to do it but her. So this was her opportunity with Pablo fast asleep and unaware. Maria Trinidad, with no more love left in her heart for this man, filled with anger, born from years of mistreatment by Pablo and men just like him, Maria grabbed one of Pablo's baseball bats, her rage giving her the strength to wield it high above her head. In a vengeful swoop, she hit her husband in the head with all of her might. He fell out of the chair onto the floor in front of the TV. This was it. There was no turning back, for if he woke up, her and her babies would never survive his retribution. From there, she unleashed blow after blow on him to ensure he'd never insult or beat her and her children again. He lay there with multiple severe injuries to the head, barely breathing. She knew he was too big and she alone couldn't dispose of his body. So she went to a neighbor and borrowed an axe. She said she needed it to split firewood for the next day's tamale inventory. What she really needed was to dismember Miguel with surgical precision and store his lifeless body in a sack. Eventually, Maria discarded his remains in the street of her neighborhood, transporting it in a cart she used for her tamale business. She used one of the alcohol pots she used to cook tamales to store his head in. The very next day after she had dumped the body, a neighbor asked their maid to move the sack with Miguel in it, thinking it was the remains of a nearby butcher shop. As the maid attempted to take the sack to the dumpster, she screamed in terror. This was not garbage. This was not chicken bones and guts. This was a dismembered, dead human body. The police examined the body and identified it as Pablo Diaz, who turned out to have a criminal record for robbery and battery. Identification of the body and fingerprints led the police to the home he shared with Maria. There they found the crime scene, and hidden was a pot with Pablo Diaz's head.